Good morning and welcome to Thursday Morning Roundtable. My name is Sandra Barrett, and on behalf of University College of Syracuse University, it's my pleasure to welcome you here this morning to our spring version. Happy spring, by the way. This morning, as you see, we're going to be talking about Vision CNY, the Central New York plan, comprehensive plan. I want to give you a heads up about the next few weeks of programming. Next week, again, we're going to be talking about the minimum wage debate with Fred Floss of Buffalo State University. In April, we're going to have our very own Esteban Gonzalez, our chief custody deputy from the Justice Center, is going to be talking about the Justice Center and some of the issues there and jails across the country. April 10th, we're going to be talking about gay marriage and the Christian right. The following week, we're going to have the Ivory Tower Hour, which is a perennial favorite, I know. And then we'll end up on April 24th, will be our last session of the season. So that's the next few weeks, and I hope you'll all be able to make it. This morning, it's my pleasure to introduce Andy Maxwell, who is director of the Syracuse Onondaga County Planning Agency, who is going to introduce today's guest speaker. Thanks.
Thank you, Sandra. Good morning. In my city planning role, I certainly had the opportunity to work with our speaker this morning, but in my new role over these last 8 months with the City-County Planning Agency, I've had even more opportunity to work with him on a variety of initiatives. David Botar is Executive Director of the Central New York Regional Planning and Development Board. He has over 30 years of professional planning experience. In his current position, he is responsible for a staff of 25 employees and for all program development, contract administration, financial planning, and fiscal management activities of the agency. During his career, Mr. Botar directed the preparation of the Central New York Regional Sustainability Plan, planned and implemented a regional economic development program, developed an energy program, conducted major regional research studies, planned and supervised the activities of several nonprofit local development corporations, served as a principal liaison with various agencies at the federal, state, and local levels, and has served as a keynote speaker at numerous public community forums, symposia, conferences, and workshops. Mr. Botar is a graduate of the University of Pittsburgh, though we won't hold that against him. With a master's degree in urban and regional planning, he is a member of the American Planning Association, the National Association of Development Organizations, the New York State Association of Regional Councils, and the New York State Economic Development Council. Mr. Botar was born and raised in North Syracuse and is a longtime resident of the Eastwood community. Please join me in welcoming David Botar.
Well, good morning, and thank you for the introduction. And Sandra, thank you for the opportunity to present here with Thursday Morning Roundtable. I think this is the first time the Regional Planning Board's ever had an opportunity to actually to present to this group, and it's certainly very timely for us. I distributed around your table a copy of a plan we completed last year, actually June of last year. There's extra copies over here if anybody doesn't have them, because I'll be referring to this document in my remarks this morning. I thought it might help just to begin to give you a brief intro to who the Regional Planning Board is. I've worked with a few of you in this room over the years, but we're one of those organizations that kind of quietly goes about our work here in Central New York, and we've been doing it for really a very long time. We were formed back in 1966 under a provision of general municipal law, state general municipal law, that allows counties, two or more counties, to come together and form regional planning boards. There was a big push to do this, not only here in New York State, but really across the country in the 60s and into the early 70s. And regional planning boards have been operating at various levels since that time. In New York State, there are roughly, well, there are 10 regional planning boards currently in operation. We have pretty much the same mission, though each organization has its own personality and character. The Central New York Regional Planning Board is actually one of the larger regional planning boards operating in New York State. Our member counties are Cayuga, Cortland, Madison, Onondaga, and Oswego counties. So we serve the five counties right here in Central New York. We're based in Syracuse. We have our office in downtown Syracuse. We have a 35-member board of directors. So each county appoints 7 members to our board. We have 2 ex officio positions. The county legislative chair and the chair of the legislative planning committee are both ex officio voting members of our board. And then the other 5 members are appointed either by the county legislative chair or here in Onondaga County by the county executive. As I noted, we're a fairly large planning organization. Right now we have approximately 24 full-time staff, and we operate in a number of program areas. We do economic development work. We do comprehensive planning work. We now have a very robust energy program through our transportation planning group. We service the Syracuse Metropolitan Transportation Council. We do community revitalization projects, environmental planning, and certainly a lot of our time is spent trying to secure federal and state funds to implement some of the projects that are actually recommended in the plan that that I distributed to you. So that gives you just a brief overview of who the Regional Planning Board is. Let me just touch on some of our accomplishments. I know that's a long list. I'm not going to wade through the whole thing, but I just wanted to highlight a couple of the projects just to give you a sense of some of the things we're able to do. So we did complete the sustainability plan last year. We were successful in securing a large grant from the state last year to help with the Loop the Lake Trail, another phase of that project. That's certainly been a priority for this community, as I'm sure you know, and it's been a priority really for our office, because we view that project as actually having regional impact and benefit to all of Central New York. The Transportation Planning Group, again, led the whole I-81 Challenge Planning Study, which has set the foundation for where we're at as a community right now on that very, very important project. We were very involved in the development of the Finger Lakes East Business Park, which is now the home of a major burned dairy processing facility that's under construction. We worked with Center State and the previous MDA on development of Hancock Air Park. We did a wonderful comprehensive plan, a joint comprehensive plan between a village and a town of Richland and the village of Pulaski, a couple years ago, and it really set the foundation for a major grant we were able to get from the state to revitalize the former Callett Theater in the village of Pulaski. We worked very closely with the City of Syracuse in securing federal funds for the reconstruction of Solar Street as part of the whole lakefront redevelopment effort that's been going on in Syracuse for years. Worked with St. Joe's Hospital to develop what is called the Prospect Hill Medical District Plan. Did a very interesting plan for redevelopment of the carrier site a number of years ago. And reaching back a little bit further, we worked real closely on some of the revitalization work out at the Central New York Regional Market. So that just gives you a sense of some of the work we've done over the years, both on the planning side and also hands-on on the development side. So we try to do far more than just prepare plans. We try to put the plans into action. We try to get projects done, help get projects done, then implement the recommendations that are in some of the plans we have here in our community. When we're talking about planning, I think it's always important to do sort of a quick summary of where we're at in the community. We're very proud of this plan, the Vision CNY, but we've been doing a lot of planning work in Syracuse and Central New York the past year or two, and I just thought I would provide a brief reference and a reminder to everybody that I think we've got the planning done for a while, and we can shift more of our attention to getting the projects implemented that carry out the vision that you and we all have for our community. So some of the major plans that have been completed recently, Center State's Metropolitan Business Plan that was released back in November. Obviously, that has a focus on economic development, not only for this community, but a very large 19-county region. Our Vision CNY plan, the city's comprehensive plan that Annie was led that effort on behalf of the city, the county sustainability plan, and then the Central New York Regional Economic Development Council's plan that was done a couple of years ago. So we got the documents in place. We kind of know where we are. We certainly gathered a lot of information in preparing these documents, and I think they provide a good foundation for our community to go forward. Candidly, I mean, I view these plans, they're a game plan. We're a great sporting community. We all understand that every team comes to, before they blow the whistle, you got your game plan. And we got our game plan in place for this community. And, of course, like any sporting event, as soon as they blow the whistle, things change and you have to adapt. But I think it's helpful to have these resources in place so that our community leaders, our citizens, know that we have a sense of where we're at and what we can achieve going forward for our community. So we've certainly addressed that. The nature of planning work, I've been at it a long time, as Andy alluded to. It's certainly changed over the years, and this quick slide, some of the phrases and the concepts that we're asked to address and wrestle with today were certainly, I know for a fact they weren't part of the discussion 30 years ago or 20 years ago. It's really fairly recent stuff. And most of these concepts that you see up on the screen, things like envisioning and smart growth, I mean, complete streets, that concept was never even, I never heard of the concept of a complete street until about 10 years ago. But clearly we have adapted as a community to try to incorporate into our community actions the latest thinking, what is working, what's not working, we recognize that. And I just thought this slide was a good way to get a sense of really the challenges of trying to do planning today, because even in the public policy world, things are changing, communities change organically, and you have to be on top of your game to try to incorporate some of the best thinking and some of the things that are working now. And I think we've done that in some of these plans that we've put together for our community in recent years. In the document that I have passed out at your table, we organized our plan around certain policy areas, but to get the thinking going for our community, we started out with a brief section, a bunch of what-if statements, sort of visionary to get people thinking about possibilities for our community, keeping in mind this idea of a plan is to encourage the community to be very proactive and ambitious. And so we had a number of what-if statements, and it's interesting, the what-if statements, we had a number of community organizing meetings like this, and they probably generated more attention and more discussion than any other elements in the plan. And the one what-if that attracted the most attention was this idea of do we want and should we aspire to have a growth in our population in our region? From my perspective, if we want to be sustainable for the future, we must grow, our population must increase. And so we included that what if in the front of the document just to get people oriented to really the basic concepts that we have reflected in this plan. The plan itself, it's divided up into 7 policy areas. These were actually prescribed to us by the state of New York. So the initiative behind this regional sustainability plan actually came out of the governor's office and the State Energy Research and Development Authority. And what the governor wanted was to see these comprehensive sustainability plans, not just economic development plans, but comprehensive plans prepared for each of the 10 regions across the state. And they actually put a pool of money together to support the preparation of these plans. And for those of you who have been in the planning business, you can appreciate how excited we were It was $10 million put on the table, basically roughly $1 million per region to prepare these plans. That's more money than I've seen for planning initiatives in probably the last 20 years combined. So it was really a big commitment on the state's part. The plans that were prepared across the state of New York, I think, are very credible plans. They're useful plans. And we did get some direction. This was clearly meant to be a grassroots effort led by planning organizations like ours and community groups at the local level. But the state did want us to address seven policy areas. And so they were energy management and infrastructure and land use, environmental management, economic development, materials management, and climate adaptation. I'm not sure if we were doing this on our own, we would have chosen those seven, but it's certainly a representative list of the policy areas that we all think about when we think about the future of our communities. And so you can imagine the task. We had to address seven policy areas, so what we did was organize the plan. Each chapter addresses one of these policy areas. But we're doing this, we did it on a regional basis. So a five-county region, population of 790,000 people, a region that has an urban center, has suburban communities, and has rural communities. And each one of those sort of geographies has their own interests, their own ideas of what the future can look like. And so trying to weave that all together into one plan was really quite a challenge. And one of the things we did early on to try to figure out how can we organize all of this effort and all of this work and information is we decided we were going to have one goal for each policy area. And just getting an agreement on that was challenging, but we were successful. And then for each policy area, so we have one goal, we have five targets or ways to measure our progress in the future, indices, and this was required by the state. And then we decided we would have 10 strategies of how we could help achieve the goal we established for that policy area. We could have had 20 strategies or 30 strategies, but we agreed we would force ourselves to identify 10 strategies for each policy area. And then we agreed that we would identify 20 projects. So strategies are sort of long-term programmatic initiatives. The projects are more the capital improvements, the bricks and mortar orientation, the kind of projects like a sewer improvement or a road construction project. So we agreed we would discipline ourselves and come up with 20 projects for each policy area. Sounds easy now, sitting out in the audience and looking at the executive summary. But I can tell you we had many good suggestions in the strategy area. And of the 100, we have 140 projects in the plan. We could have easily listed 300 or 400 projects. So the process and forcing ourselves to be focused and disciplined really was, I think, a very constructive exercise to go through. It forced our board and the various community groups we met with around the region to really prioritize their thinking, what were some of the best strategies we need to focus on, what are some of the most important projects that we need to be focused on in the community. And I think that is the most important element in the plan, that we've identified these lists of priority initiatives in our community to focus on. It's not to suggest that other ideas don't have merit or that we wouldn't want to add projects to the list as we go forward, as things evolve in our community. That's certainly natural and it's appropriate, but this is a starting point. So just very briefly, and I know this is far too much script to be reading up on a screen, I just wanted to give you a sense. So as you can see, we have the energy goal. These goals are really fairly generic, the kind of goals that you would typically see in community discussions like this, really across upstate New York, across the nation. We want to use our energy more efficiently. I mean, that's the goal. Every community is aspiring to that. And then we established a few targets so that, you know, we tried to put a little meat behind the goal statement. So you see about, you know, the reduction of energy use on a per capita basis going forward as an example. And then as you jump over to the other side, you see with the strategies, We did try to break them up into short-term things that we could do maybe immediately in the next few years in this community, and then those strategies that might take a little longer to implement and undertake. But so you get a sense within the short-term strategies, you know, the promotion of the development of renewable energy resources here in our community. That's fairly logical and I think fairly consistent with what we talk about in this community from year to year. You go on to the next area, infrastructure. This was just a little bit of a challenge in terms of we could have had a whole chapter on just transportation when you talk about infrastructure. But what we wanted to do is orient the document and the planning effort that infrastructure is more than transportation. It's more than roads. It's more than sewer. It's more than water. It's broadband. It's your energy production transmission facilities. So we lumped that all together in one chapter and talked about, you know, from a goal statement, the use of our infrastructure in a sustainable, affordable manner, in an efficient manner in this community. Obviously, trying to address issues like smart growth and urban infill, fix it first, those kinds of strategies are all clearly reflected in the infrastructure section of the plan. From there, we go on and talk about land use. Clearly, there's no question this document, this was a little bit of a challenge, but the idea of certainly giving appropriate attention to our urban centers, but also the community centers, the smaller community centers we have across the region. So the villages and the hamlets receive some real consideration. The idea of using our land efficiently in this community is the overriding goal. Nice goal, but how do you achieve that? The idea of focusing on infill, so how does that really take action? So organizations like mine or Andy's, the city's community development office, we focus staff time on trying to facilitate projects that actually achieve the goal of infill, to take, say, a brownfield along Erie Boulevard and put that back into productive use. That's how you take the big, broad goal and actually try to put it into action, where you devote your staff time and the kind of projects you'll focus on. So clearly land use receives some attention as well. The environment, this has been a very important focus for our agency over the years, particularly in water quality area. And we have what I think you would agree is a fairly standard and rational goal in the environmental field. But trying to figure out some targets to measure our progress in a community was certainly a challenge. You see in the second target, you know, reducing the number of impaired water bodies in our region by 50% over the next 20 years. So we established that kind of a target so we would have a way to measure our progress. And the quality of the water, impaired water bodies, is a metric that is actually monitored by the state DEC. So there's a way that we can track our effort, and we know which water bodies are most impaired or which water bodies are most threatened in this region. So with that information, then we can focus staff resources on trying to take actions that address that impaired water body, and that's where you see on some of the strategies that we outline in this plan. Talking about green infrastructure is certainly a topic that we hear about all of the time. That's clearly a strategy that communities can use to address water quality in the region, and it's clearly reflected in this plan. You look down on the long-term initiatives, something as ambitious as reducing the amount of impervious parking areas in our region as a way to reduce the amount of stormwater is going into our water body, and when what we're actually doing is we're inventorying on a regional basis some of the largest parking lots in the region. This is really down and dirty kind of stuff, but that's how you put action into a plan. And what we're going to do once we've completed that inventory is pick out some of these larger surface parking areas that are in proximity to some of our critical water bodies and meet with the property owners and try to implement some green infrastructure initiatives associated with those parking facilities. So hoping you're getting a sense of how these plans, how we're trying to use them as a way to direct our efforts to address some of the goals we have for our region. Economic development was certainly a focus. This was probably the easiest chapter to put together because as a community and a region, we already have a number of good economic development plans, regional plans already in place. So we clearly drew on that work that had already been done in our community and in our region and reflected that in this chapter as well. Materials management, this is a, and I'm not sure this would have made the cut in terms of being a whole chapter in our plan, but we were required by the state to do that. I actually learned some things going through the exercise, but, you know, management of our waste stream in the community, and that's certainly a topic of real discussion, and I know you've had a presenter or two on this issue. The discussion going on right now between this community and Cortland County on the Waste to Ash initiative. Overall, the goal that is reflected in this plan that certainly the state has been encouraging for years is to reduce your waste stream in any particular community. There are some targets that you can establish, and we reflected, I think, some fairly standard targets. And then try to identify some strategies, both short-term and long-term, that could be used to help us achieve the goal. And then climate adaptation, again, is another chapter heading or chapter area that the state required us to follow. I might have reflected climate adaptation issues in each of the other chapters if I had full control over putting the document together. But this is a standalone. I don't know, global warming, cold winter. I mean, we're all wrestling with all of these issues as you sort through those. But clearly, the climate is having an impact. We certainly see it on a national basis. But I think at times with some of the severe storms we've seen in recent years in this community, I think it is impacting central New York. It probably we see it most in certain flooding events, but we also see it in relationship to invasive species. That's become a real problem, particularly in some of our waterways. And so we established a goal and some strategies to try to get at that policy area as well. So that's the document in a nutshell. What we passed out for you this morning is obviously the executive summary. The full plan, of course, has to be much more cumbersome and comprehensive. It's probably a 300-page document. It's up on our website. I wouldn't try to take on the whole plan in one morning. I would suggest you do it chapter by chapter, maybe a chapter per week. But one of the things we clearly tried to do in putting this plan together is we wanted it to also be a resource document for our community leaders and policymakers. So there's a lot of good focus data in this plan, sort of background information that I think community leaders will find useful and a good reference guide when they wrestle with some of the policy issues we have in this community. When you look at a plan like this, we have, you know, great goals, some good strategies, a long list of projects. People often, you know, question whether the exercise is worth the effort. And with this slide, I like to remind really internally with staff and with my board, as a community, we do have a track record of accomplishment. And if you look at some of the projects, and probably most of you are familiar with probably all of the photographs that are illustrated in that slide. But there have been a lot of good projects accomplished in this community over the years. Not enough. We need to build more momentum. There's no question about that. But when you look at a planning document like this, I think it's important to realize we can get ambitious projects accomplished in this community, and we've done that. And you can see with some of these slides, the reference there with the Village Hall, that's the Village of Skinny Atlas, their municipal building. It's the first net zero municipal building in New York State where they generate more energy than they actually use in the building. and that was a project we were very involved with in helping the community put that together, and it was completed last year. But who would think in Central New York we would have a net zero building? Who would think in Central New York that we would be talking about Onondaga Lake today as a resource to our community, that we actually will have a trail that will go around the lake, that we have a creek walk, that we have urban housing in downtown Syracuse? I mean, the number of housing units that are being built, that have been built, and are being built today in downtown Syracuse, that's the kind of stuff we wrote up in these kind of plans 20 years ago. And, in fact, it's actually happening here in our community. So I think we have a right to be hopeful, and I think we have a right to be ambitious. The last slide is really just to challenge you and give you a sense of what we wrestle with at a staff level and a board level. There's 140 projects identified in that plan. Again, there could easily be 200 credible projects. And if you had to pick the 20 most important projects for this community to focus on, that would really be a challenging exercise. I took a shot at it. These are sort of the projects that are high on my list. I think these are the projects we need to keep our eye on. This is clearly a list that is Syracuse-centric. I would be criticized with my board for not having another 20 projects represented on this list from around the region. And I could do that, but I thought with this audience, I would sort of give you my Dave Botar top 10, top 20 list. Obviously, I-81, we need to focus on, and I think we are focused on as a community. The Inner Harbor, the Creek Walk, the Erie Canal Trail, you can see the list of projects, but I think if we all walked around with this kind of list in our pocket and we all stayed focused on these initiatives, that over some period of time we would see a good number of them completed for our community, and I think our community would be better served by that. So let me wrap up, and I'd be glad to take any questions you might have. Thank you.
First question.
You ever get the feeling you're really planning to rearrange the deck chairs on the Titanic? No, I'm serious. I mean, what if you've got the what if we went to 1 million population? What if we went to 500,000? New York State has one of the greatest out-migrations of population in the United States. And then a lot of what's happening here is a direct result of things that are done in Albany, and I didn't hear you say anything about either strategies or goals to get things changed there that would make it different here.
Yeah, let me address that last point. I mentioned early on that, you know, the initiative was funded and spearheaded by Albany. So clearly, as we put this document together, the idea of having a chapter or recommendations for what Albany could do better was not part of our task. So we steered away from that. But to your first question, which I think is the most important one, no, I don't think we're on the Titanic. If you were talking the late 80s and early 90s, when we lost 10,000 people in our region, a little over 10,000, Mitch, probably closer to 15,000, things were, I think, a little bit dire. But maybe it's the planner in me, the optimist in me. Our population base has stabilized, and I view that as a positive. So we're no longer losing significant number of people from our region. So hopefully we can build on some of the activity that's going on in Central New York and start to see some population growth. But clearly, I think we are challenged. We need new people. We need residents to move into Central New York if we are going to have a sustainable future.
Hi. I've been through a lot of planning when I work for community development, and as much as the state gave you the money, told you what to do, we've just had a situation. I looked. The stadium or the thing that's being built to get us with the governor's economic development money where is that in this document? And isn't it frustrating to be a planner when there's big amounts of government money, and instead of looking at the plan for how we could use that money for economic development, the politician, the governor, just picks something that politicians ask for and doesn't go to a plan. And the whole thing, if you feel free to comment on the stadium, again, I live on the east side, no planning, no public visioning. It just came out of nowhere to those of us who live on the east side of Syracuse.
Well, as I said in my opening remarks, you know, I kind of anticipated this question a little bit to some degree. But we have to, I think we all know it intuitively, but communities evolve organically. And again, we have the game plan, and players go down, they get hurt, another player gets hot, you adjust your zone. A project initiative out of the blue is announced for our community. The community is asked to consider it. I think you adapt as a community. It doesn't diminish the value and some of the information that are in the planning documents, but I think we have to be nimble as a community and be able to be proactive and, yes, reactive. And I think in this case, from a community perspective, to maybe a plan for the University Hill, Logan's Crossing area is probably overdue, given the nature of the geography. And fortunately, I think our community, through the mayor's effort, rather than just moving on, is saying, okay, the development community has shown a spotlight on this area of our community. Maybe we weren't prepared. Let's bring some people together and do some good planning now.
My question has to do with what I call suburban sprawl. It's a topic near and dear to my heart. But I was wondering if there's any implications in that for the planning agency, the Central New York Planning Agency.
Yeah, the sprawl issue is certainly discussed quite often in this community. It's not unique to Syracuse or Central New York. But I have a little different orientation to that policy issue. I look at a map, and my wall in my office is a map of the region of the five counties in Central New York. And if you look at our growth patterns from a regional perspective, our development is fairly concentrated from a regional perspective. So I think we have to be conscious of the issue. I think we have to adopt policies that certainly reflect the desire to use our public resources efficiently. But from a regional perspective, this is not as much an issue as it is here in this community itself.
I'm a strong believer in planning as a roadmap to accomplishing real things down the road. But my concern with this, and I'd like to hear you talk about it a little bit more, is I'm always a little bit weary of the state coming in with a bucket of money and saying, what do you want to do with it to help with this road plan? I guess my concern would be the focus groups that you use to develop this plan. How are they tied in, you know, to the local areas in which those projects and plans would be implemented? And how often do you plan to revise this?
Yeah, we had a fairly robust public outreach effort. It was not commensurate with what the Central New York Regional Economic Development Council did, in part because they had just finished their planning effort. So we tried to tailor our approach a little bit differently. But first, I alluded to I have a 35-member board, so it's 7 members from each county, and they were the guiding body for this document. We had focus groups in each county. We had 2 focus group meetings in each county. We had roughly 30 people at each focus group meetings. And it was a good cross-section. There was clearly an orientation to agency staff representatives from county planning departments and city community development departments. But we had county legislators. On my board, I have I think I have 15 county legislators in total on my board. We had mayors from cities like the city of Auburn or the city of Oswego. We had mayors from smaller towns and villages, town supervisors, village mayors. So we had a good cross-section in the region engage in really the planning effort. As I said earlier, that really made it quite challenging because there was one meeting where we had sort of an Onondaga County Urban Group meeting, and the criticism was the plan was not focused enough on our urban center in the region, was not focused enough on Syracuse. When I was out in Madison County and in Cortland County, the comment, just as black and white, is this plan is too Syracuse-centric and does not reflect the interest of our rural communities. So it was a real balancing act in trying to put it together.
Will the plan be updated?
Oh, plan to update it. We certainly plan to, you know, because these things are set up electronically today, it's much easier. And again, this plan you can access on our website. I think the primary focus for updating the document in the near term would be focusing on the project list. Which projects have been initiated, which projects have been completed, and what projects do we want to add to the list that are not reflected on the plan. So, like the amphitheater out at Onondaga Lake, there is no mention of that project in this plan, and maybe we want to come back and revisit that and add that to the list.
I really like the idea of the planning and the you have the plan, but then you are nimble in terms of being able to adapt to the current developments and everything. But then the key thing from the plan is how to implement the projects. And can you talk a little bit about the way that you would see Regional Planning Development Board, you know, involved in implementing some of these projects?
Yeah, it really gets down to almost a very you know, management approach. Where do we direct our staff resources to implement the plan? And what I try to do with my agency is focus our staff resources on implementing specific projects. So I mentioned the comprehensive plan we did for the village of Pulaski and Richland. First of all, it was interesting that they did a joint plan. But through the planning effort, we identified one of the key buildings in downtown Pulaski, the Callett Theater. It had been vacant for years. And we went to a local businessman and said, would you be interested in taking title to the Callett Theater and revitalizing the project, owning and operating it as a community center? He had great interest, but he said, there's no way I can afford to do it financially. And so then we stepped in and wrote the grant applications to three state programs and to National Grid, and were able to put together $1 million that was a $1 million grant to the village of Pulaski, which in turn was passed on to the developer, and that building was revitalized. And they had a grand opening in November of this past year in the Marshall Tucker Band. Was the opening act at this theater. So that's how we try. That's how I try to do it through my agency, is these plans tell us where we need to focus our time, but then we got to step up as staff and do what we can on our side to get the project implemented. The Loop the Lake Trail is another example where the county approached us and said, could you write some grant applications to help us get state funding for the Loop the Lake Trail? Now, there's a long list of projects we could focus our time on, and my decision, the challenge is, where do we focus our time? Again, as I said earlier, I think the Loop the Lake Trail is a key project for the region, so we decided to focus staff time on that effort. So that's how we try to do it, Mitch.
Hi. I think this is an absolutely exciting plan. As somebody who is outside of the process, there are so many things going on here that I never even thought about that make such a difference to the quality of life. So my question is there any money or is there any game plan to educate people like myself who really haven't given thought to this and really should, so it could bring support?
Yeah, that's where we often fall short in these kind of initiatives. So this was a tremendous effort for our office and our board to put the plan together, and now we just kind of want to move on and focus on the projects. But we need to do more public education and outreach. It's why I asked Sandra for the opportunity to speak before you this morning. So we are going to be more engaged in public speaking efforts about the plan. That's really the primary vehicle that we can offer to citizens in the community to educate themselves more. But we will, through our website, be able to keep the project list up to date. And that would be, I think, a very convenient place for folks to turn to get a sense of, well, you got your long list of projects. Are we making any progress? And we're going to come up with a vehicle on our website so you can track that progress in the community.
Why do we have to grow is the question, David.
I think there's a real simple answer. Look across this room.
The answer, Alex, is that we need more younger people to fill jobs. And that actually is one of the topics of the next Onondaga Citizens League study, the skills gap, but it's also a kind of a labor force gap. So we need to bring in more people and keep more people here so we'll have people to fill jobs and employers and shop at stores and buy houses in the city and do things like that. Next
Perfect.
Question.
It seems like there's a great deal of focus on efficiencies, whether it's through energy efficiency, transportation, and so on. And I have to admit, I haven't had a chance to look at this in great length at this point. But what I'm wondering is, among those efficiencies, has the organization considered government efficiencies in terms of consolidation? And if so, are you aligned or working with in any way with the newly formed commission to look at those issues that's part of 2020?
Yeah, we're certain, I'm aware of, as all of you are, the Syracuse 2020 initiative. Governance was a chapter area that we were actually considering adding to the plan, but for a variety of reasons, in part because of this initiative that's going on in the community, we didn't do it. Government consolidation is really a physical planning document for the most part, and so issues about governance really falls outside the scope of this body of work. Not that we couldn't have focused on it, but we simply chose not to, given it's controversial, it's challenging for us as a community, and we felt this was something we discussed really at some length with our board. The conclusion was that issue is so broad and so controversial and so challenging for our community that that's really a separate document. And if we tried to incorporate elements of government consolidation into this plan, we'd really get bogged down in a long, drawn-out process. So it was just a practical decision. Do we want to engage that issue or not? We chose not to.
David, thank you very much for being here, and I hope you'll be back again. In my view, your organization is one of the undersung and underleveraged ones in Central New York, particularly looking at it from both a local and a nationwide level. I'm interested in two quick things. One is if you could talk a little bit about the future of the Regional Planning Board in comparison to others around the country that do exist. I was just at a presentation a few days ago in D.C. about the Mid-America one in Kansas City. I was amazed at all the functions they're involved with. And then secondly, what are the challenges that are more unique here compared to elsewhere in the country in terms of the limited professional capacity in the local governments here that to me are a challenge to getting initiatives accomplished and also reaching those efficiencies and effectiveness challenges in modern America?
Wow, that's a lot. So for the Regional Planning Board, in terms of the future, this is the first time as an agency, this is the first time this region has had a comprehensive plan prepared in 30 years. So it was long overdue. And we put a lot of effort into it. And what I it really ties back to my earlier comments. If we're on our game, then what we need to be doing is taking our staff resources, limited staff resources, and focusing on the strategies and the projects, implementing the strategies and projects that will help us achieve the goals outlined in the plan. What I talk about in staff meetings and with my board is I think we've reached the point in this community where we don't need to spend too much more time on high-level, 40,000-foot-level discussions. What we need to do is to focus more and more of our staff time, not all of it, but more and more of our staff time, public and private, picking out individual strategies and picking out individual projects, having that priority list, and focusing all of the resources that are needed to actually get that project completed. If I had to pick one project in this community to complete, it would be Loop the Lake. And I think offices like Andy Maxwell's, the city, DEC, Honeywell, we all ought to gather together and focus as much time and effort as we can to get that project completed for our community, because I think it would send such a strong signal not only to each of us, but to people across the nation. It really could be a catalytic project for our community.
Does that include an amphitheater, was the question.
I'm focused on the Loop. That's where these efforts get diverted, you know. So that's what I think is it's really not, we're doing it now, but I think that's where as an organization, we're going to focus our time at the Regional Planning Board. How we stack up with regional planning boards around the nation, we're certainly different. You know, it's our governance in the Northeast and how we're organized. If you go to other places in the South, and particularly out West, regional planning boards tend to be councils of government. They tend to be what I call line agencies, so they actually deliver day-to-day services to communities and residents. So they have a different character. They tend to be much larger. You're talking about organizations that might have 100, 150, 200 staff members. Denver COG is an example of a large regional planning organization. But they're more service delivery than they are planning. And so they have a very different character. They have far more resources than what we're able to bring to the table here in Central New York.
David, would you like to – sorry I interrupted before, but would you like to go back to the question and end with if we do need to grow, why do we need to grow as a community?
Oh, I thought you handled it perfect, Sandra.
I want to hear it from you.
No, I mean, you really hit it. It was interesting, you know, 791,000 people go up to 1 million. Oh my God, we're going to have traffic congestion. We're going to have sprawl in our community. Well, that was, you know, to achieve a population base of 1 million people, but I think the time frame was 2030. If you look at it regionally, it works out to like 5,100 new residents per year for the next 20 or 30 years. This region could easily absorb 5,100 new residents. You wouldn't even know they arrived in our community. Just think of our own, just think of the city of Syracuse could absorb 5,100 people a year, and you wouldn't even know they arrived in our community. So we have tremendous capacity. It is the sprawl issue in the sense that we have, it's not sprawl so much as we have a very robust infrastructure network in this region and in this community. Certainly for the city of Syracuse, when its population used to be 220,000 and now it's 140,000, all of those roads, all of those sewer lines, all of those water lines are in place. They could easily service the 5,100 people per year. So that goal is very manageable from a community standpoint, whether you're in a village of Cazenovia or the village of Skaneateles, the village of Pulaski, or right here in the city of Syracuse. we could easily absorb that, and it would be very, very helpful to the future of our region if we could achieve it.
Okay. Thanks very much, David Botar.